And there's a keeping power that Daddy God begins to look in and brings a reassurance and a confidence and a knowing that he is here. Amen. Come on now. Amen. The Holy Ghost is alive and well. The lights are on and somebody's at home. Amen. Isn't that assuring? Come on. Amen. See, I'd like to be able to tell you that every time I step into a platform or I get ready to minister that I always have, you know, my hair standing up and I'm feeling goosebumps and I'm feeling. And a lot of times I don't feel anything. Amen. But there comes the assurance, amen, when we begin to worship the Lord and there's a confidence that begins to come, amen, that you know, that you know, that you know in whom you are, amen. And I just really, really sense that there is that anointing, amen, to bring in a freshness and an awareness and a rekindling of who you are, amen. Come on now, because it'll keep you when nothing else does, because life happens, amen. Come on. The very thing you think that you would never have to face, guess what? You face it. Amen. I love it because even the Apostle Paul said, you know, trials and tribulations are going to come. Amen. But yet then at another time he says, but yet none of these things move me. And that's what I heard my mama pastor say. Facing what looked like death. Facing what looked like an impossibility, and yet when you have your eyes so fixed and you know whose you are, none of these things move me. Amen? Come on. Not that we don't need to be refreshed, because these physical bodies get tired in the process. Amen? But there is an assurance and a steadiness that Daddy God, when he's got you, nothing moves me. Amen. I am compelled by his word. Amen. That's what my pastor's invested in me. Years and years and years. Keep your eyes on the word. Keep your eyes on him, Connie. Keep your eyes on the word. Keep your eyes on him. Amen. And I'm telling you, my father, my daddy God, has come through for me time and time and time again. Amen. And he's still going to bring me through time and time and time again. Amen. Because it is a new season. Come on now. And it is a new day. Amen. And he is watching after his word to perform it. And he is looking for his promises to be fulfilled in your life. And he is going to cause you to dream with greater dreams and greater clarity. And he is going to cause you to rise up in the strength of the Lord. And he is renewing the joy of the Lord that's within you. And he is causing you to hope again and look at the thing and say, yes, my heart will beat again for that thing that caused me so much turmoil, that tried to literally look at death at me. And I said, no, you will live. Come on. There is a resurrection life that's going to be released this morning, and it's already begun. I can sense the momentum of God just wanting to release resurrection into life, into situations, areas, and dreams, and lives. Come on. There's things you've dreamed about that you didn't dare tell nobody because they would think you're crazy. Come on now. Amen. Come on, some of you have looked at your own stuff for so long that you're saying, God, my hope has been deferred. You've had a sick heart, a spiritual sick heart that you said, God, I don't even want to go there again. Don't talk to me about it no more. I'm sorry, none of you all did, but I've been there. Amen. And yet God, in his goodness and his love, in his relentless passion for his sons and daughters, said, I'm not going to leave you in that place. Amen. And the moment you begin to just take me in again, some of you just need to catch your breath again. Come on, just do that. It's the life of God. Amen. That's releasing resurrection life. My babies will live for God. They will serve God all the days of their life. My physical body is gaining strength day by day, moment by moment, even in this minute. I will dream again. Come on. Failure is not your destiny. You may say, I tried it and I tried it and I was disappointed and it seemed like it didn't. Well, I'm saying, try it again. Try it again. Come on now. You need to hear this. Try it again. Do it again. Amen. Help us, Lord. Come on, amen? Amen. Try it again. Do it again. Listen, Psalms 29, verse 3, and I'm reading from the Amplified. Well, I'm going to start at verse 2. It says, give to the Lord. Come on. Didn't say, now if you feel like it and if you want to. If you're feeling good and everything's going good in life, come on, it's easy for us to worship and abandon ourselves.
Amen.
But it's a different story when the pressure's on.
Yes.
And yet here he's saying, give to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The glory that's due his name. Oh, see, I could stop there right there and just say, Jesus! Woo! Something about that name. Come on. There's power in that name. There's power in that name. There's power in that name. That name that is above every other name. That name that can cause the situation to turn around just in a moment because you said, Jesus! Come on. Sometimes I don't know how I ought to pray. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I don't know what to do with a situation. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I don't know how to release the word of the Lord. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Yeah. Woo! Amen. So give the glory, give God the glory that's due his name. Amen. Oh, listen. And the God, come on, of glory. He thunders. Now, when I say that, I mean, I can picture it. The moment I say, Jesus, the God of glory says, look out. I'm coming on display. Ooh, my daughter just said my name. Look out. Here I come. Huh? Oh, he released my name. Oh, here I come. Huh? The name of Jesus, the God of glory, he thunders his word. Amen. It hits the mark every time. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. You release his name, and I'm telling you what, you got all of heaven backing you. You got everything going for you, and nothing can stand against the name of Jesus. So the God of glory thunders, and the Lord is upon many great waters. Listen, and the voice of the Lord, oh, hallelujah, it's powerful. And the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Come on. And the voice of the Lord, it breaks the setter. Yes, the voice of the Lord breaks in pieces the setter's 11. And he makes them also slip like a calf. Like young, amen, and a wild ox. Huh? Come on. Some of you need to get your tenacity back. I heard last night there was a testimony and she said, you know, a little nice prayer wasn't going to get it. Huh? Some of you need to get your boldness and your tenacity, your fire, your reliance, your assurance. Amen. Come on, that when you release that name, come on, you know, you have the assurance and you know, none of these things are going to move me. Amen. Come on, none of these things are going to move me. You need to stand up. Come on, I'm going to get you out of here. Y'all are too comfortable. Come on, amen. You need to tell yourself, just close yourself off from everybody else and just say, none of these things are going to move me. None of these things are going to move me. Now just release a shout, Jesus!
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 Jesus! Woo! There is power in that name. Come on, there is a power in that name. Glory to God. Glory, there is power in that name. Amen. Come on, amen. Some of you have been sitting down on stuff for too long, and you need to shake off what was. Come on, and begin to take a new breath and begin to embrace the word of the Lord when he says it's a new day and it's a new season. Amen. Because I've not been this way before. Glory. There's more to it. He has more for you.
Amen.
Amen. You know, one of the things, I had a dream about a year ago, and the Lord said, it's not yet appeared, who my bride really is. And I thought, whoa. And I hurried up and I got up in the middle of the night and I wrote it down and I began to share it with my husband. I said, Father just said, it's not yet appeared who we really are. Amen. Which my ears perked up. So can I tell you, there is a fresh release of the wind and the breath of God. Amen. That you're going to begin to see yourself in a way you've not seen yourself before. Come on. He's going to begin to stretch you out of what was and what you've always known and what's always been comfortable. And he's going to launch you out even a little bit deeper. Aren't you glad? Yes. You know what happens to stagnated water? It stinks. Amen. And the Father has fresh waters he's wanting us to step into. Amen. Come on, fresh waters that you can step into. Fresh waters, amen, that's going to bring the refreshing, that's going to empower you, that's going to cause you to dream again and hope again, amen. Come on, amen, amen. Amen. Okay, you can be seated now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just looking to see who, Lord, who, come on, who. Glory. I want to minister. Come on. See, you can't give what you don't. When you give out, you always receive. Come on. And when the Father begins to pour back in, he brings a multiplication with it. The moment you dare to step out, amen, and be obedient, do what the Father has you to do, he always rewards you for it. And there always comes an increase with it. I just gave you a nugget right there. Amen. And I want to minister to the young man that came minister to my daughter. Yes, sir. What's your name, honey? Caleb. Caleb, if you'll just stand to your feet. Amen. Caleb, there is coming a greater confidence upon your life like never before. There's going to be the assurance and the awareness and the clarity that you hear the Father with such clarity and preciseness. That even when you go into another house or meet other people, there's going to be the assurance and the breath and the wind of God that's going to propel you and launch you forward. It will be like, I can't stay in this place. I have to move out and I have to give and I have to impart and I have to lay hands on the sick. And the Father says, you lay hands on the sick and many, many will recover, says the Lord. Not just healed, but will recover. The miraculous working power rests upon your life, and there's even a great, great mantle of deliverance that's on your life that you can bring to people in just one word from God. Just one word from God can totally alter their whole lives. And the Father says, I am putting that anointing even on you in a greater degree. It's always been there. Amen. He's just bringing some light to it and some sharpness to it in this season of your life. Amen. And the Lord said, because you've been obedient and you've done what I've asked you to do, the Lord says, you watch and see what I'm going to even do in your behalf. For there's dreams that I've placed within you, son. And there's you've been obedient to those and you've been subject to those that's in authority over you. And the Lord says, I'm going to cause you to have authority at a very young age. Amen. Authority in the spirit doesn't necessarily come with an age, a natural age, but it's already on you. Come on now. It's already on you. And there's going to come just a greater clarity of the sonship and the oneness that you have with the Father like never before. Amen. So the Father says, go ahead and lay hands on him and go ahead and release the word of the Lord. And there's a sound even when you begin to play the instruments that's going to cause people to be delivered and set free even in that sound. So the Lord says, even in your quiet time, get away with him and give yourself to that just a little bit more, because there is a prophetic release of deliverance that's coming in that sound. Amen. That's going to be able to make it easy for people to be turned, their hearts and their spirits to be turned back to the Lord. Amen. So you give yourself to that privately. And the Father says, you watch and see what I don't display and do in your behalf openly, says God. So Father, I just thank you right now. Can I just lay my hand on you? What was your name again, honey? Caleb. Father, I thank you, Father, for Caleb. I thank you for the mantle, Father God, of deliverance and miracles and the miraculous that's upon his life, Father. And I thank you for a greater clarity and a greater confidence that's resting upon him like never before, Father. Lord, I just thank you for doing for him privately what you're fixing to do for him in a greater degree openly. In the name of Jesus, Father, seal the word of the Lord in his heart. And in his spirit, I charge him even now, Father. Glory to God. Even now, Father. That impartation, Father, I thank you. Father, you freely given to me, and I freely release it to this son. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. Amen.
No, no. Somebody say, Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Oh, come on. Now, listen, I know that some of you are just in church, but this is not just church service this morning. This is camp meeting.
Amen.
Amen. So in camp meeting, you get to do like you do, you know, when UK beats Louisville.
Yeah.
Excuse me. When Louisville beats UK. Come on, like when Michigan beats Ohio. Hallelujah. Just once in a while, you get to get beside yourself. I know you don't normally act that way. You don't run through your house all day long just shouting and, you know, hollering at the TV and everything. But when the game's on, come on now. It's when camp meeting's on, you get to act a little differently, glory to God. You can always go back to being, you can always go back to being the way you were. But when camp meeting's on, come on now.
That's
right. Hallelujah. Y'all going to make me work, aren't you? Hallelujah. When camp meeting's on, you can be a little different.
Amen.
Praise God. I was thinking, this young man, I'm glad you obeyed the Lord. I want to thank you for obeying the Lord. Because, see, sometimes we just come together and we forget what we come together for. The Bible says when we come together, every one of you have a... have a tongue, have a doctrine, have an interpretation. You know, and he says, let everything be done to edify, to build up, to erect the house. And that's what we want to do, amen? When we come together, we're not just coming to receive, but we're coming to give so somebody else can be blessed, amen? You may have the miracle somebody else needs. You may have the word of knowledge that somebody needs to be encouraged that week, amen? So I'm glad that we can do that. Amen. Glory to God. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank
you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, if you'll just throw those out every once in a while, I know you haven't checked out on me. Amen. If you check out on me, I want to sit down. Glory to God. But if you'll just let me know you haven't checked out, you're still with me, maybe we can get something from God this morning. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I was thinking this morning, if somebody was to ask me, what's the biggest problem in the church? Is it the problem that the church has become so much like the world and the world has become so much like the church you can't tell it apart? Some would say yes. Is it a problem that because we lost our holiness? Some would say yes. Is it a problem because we lost passion or desire? Some would say yes. But I find that the biggest problem in the church is we have lost sight of identity of who we really are. Because we don't know who we are, we act in ways we don't normally would act. We do things we know better than do, but because we don't know who we are, we think it's all right to do the things we do.
Amen.
So it's important for us to understand our identity. Amen? So I want to remind you today that you're sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Amen.
Amen. That you're a new creation that never existed before. You may have been a terrible mess before, but when you come to Jesus, man, you just changed. You are a new creation. Amen. You didn't get made over. You began made new. Glory to God. You are newborn. Amen. You're the seed of God, and you carry His DNA in you.
Amen.
Well, amen. You've been designed to be successful. Come on, you've been designed to prosper. You've been designed to go further than what you've ever thought you could go for because God is with you. And if God be for you,
amen.
Amen. We've been given the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Well, amen. And that means we can tap into the wisdom of God. We've been created to rule and reign with Him and to be His ambassadors to represent. Look at somebody and say, you better represent. We have been called to represent Christ in the world. Amen. We have been called to be a light, to be a salt, to be. I like what the Lord said, and I heard something about tribulation this morning. The Bible says, in the world, Jesus was talking, you will have tribulation. Amen. And I'm thinking, oh, great, good news. In the world. No, that wasn't the good news. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And see, here's a neat thing about it. He says, as long as you're in the world, you're like me. Amen. He says, for as I am in the world, so are you. Is he defeated? No. Is he discouraged? No. Are you following me? And so as he is in the world, so are we. And he said, the wicked one comes and he touches me not. We do it this way. Can't touch this. Come on now. And so he's come, but he doesn't have any hold on us. Amen. You are his dwelling place. You are agents of transformation, advancing the kingdom, making his enemies his footstool. Come on now. Executing the judgments that are written. Amen. And I know that the Bible says don't think too highly of yourself, but it doesn't say don't think highly. And see, so many times we don't think high enough of ourselves. My daddy's God. Come on now. I think that's pretty good relationship, pretty good standing. Amen. And so I think a little bit higher of myself than what most folks would. Amen. Glory to God. Now listen, I'm going to talk fast, so you're going to have to either write fast, because I got a lot to say to you this morning, or get the CD. Amen. Amen. Now listen to me. You're God's dwelling place. God dwells in you. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. The lights are on in somebody's home. He's leading you. He's teaching you. He's directing your footsteps. He's gone before you to prepare the way. Amen. And so he said, I never leave you. Glory to God. You're not in this thing alone. Amen. And so we need to realize who we really are. Amen. All right. Last night we were reminded of 2 Kings, and for those of you who weren't here, we were reminded of 2 Kings and the widow woman. And it was funny because as the brother was talking, I kind of pointed some things out to my wife that I had already in my notes here. And the widow woman, she was in a mess. Remember, her husband had died, and the Bible says that the creditors had come. They wanted to repossess the children. Yeah, they're going to repossess the children and put them into bondage, and yet. In that mix of that, it said that that woman had a connection. She had a relationship with somebody. Come on now. She had somebody, a man of God, in her life that she could go to, that she was connected to, that she knew that she could go to and let him know the problem that she was facing, and that because of relationship, because she was connected, that what that man of God could do, he could touch heaven on her behalf. And I want to tell you, that's what church is about. That's what having a pastor is about. That's what belonging to somewhere and somebody. That's what it's about, that you know that you have a relationship and that you can go and place a demand upon the anointing in their life so that your needs will be met. Amen. Hallelujah. And because of a relationship, she had a sense of expectation. If I just tell them, something will change. If I just talk to them about what I'm going through, that something will change in my life. And she states her purpose, but she doesn't do it with a gloom despair. She doesn't do it with saying, oh, you know, I've got to go tell him how bad it is. And if I tell him how bad it is, maybe he'll do something. But she goes with a sense, if I tell him how bad it is, something's going to change in my life. Amen. And so when she went to the prophet, he asked a twofold question. I'm just hurrying through this so I can get to my message. She asked a twofold question. What shall I do for you? And in the Hebrew, it carries this thought. Stand before me and declare boldly what you want. Amen. Come on now. Because of relationship. Stand before me and declare boldly what you want. Amen. Don't hold nothing back. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Don't hold nothing back. And then he says, he asked a question. He says, what do you have in your house? In other words, what is it that you have that you can partnership with me to see your victory? And sometimes all we have is faith. Sometimes all we have is a hope. Sometimes all we have is a dream. But what God's wanting us to see is, I'm not going to just do this thing for you by myself, because I'm raising up mature sons and daughters. I want you to partnership with me so you learn how to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. Well, amen. Now, here's the thing. We've got to get past thinking of mere men, that we're just human beings. Well, I'm only human. And we got to get past this thing about thinking, well, it's just about money. Is that all you got is money? Huh? If that's all you got, you need to get saved.
Yeah.
Why do we always revert to that? It's just about money. No, what do you have? Glory to God. Amen. And I liked what, I won't use the word that, but I like that we need to give a proper assessment of what we have. Quit belittling what you have.
Right.
You may not have what somebody else has, but you got something. And quit belittling what you have. You got what you have because what you got is enough to get what you need done. Come on now. And so you need to see what you got a little bit more. And see, sometimes, again, you've got to shut the door because negative people live all around you. And just shut the door. Don't listen to all that nonsense. Amen. And then begin to pour out what you have. Begin to use it. Begin to use it. That's why I like the young man coming forward today. He began to use what he had. Amen. And see, we're saying more, Lord. And he's saying, why don't you use what you got? Hallelujah. By the way, if I turn around like this, it means you missed a good opportunity to say amen, and you need to catch up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today, possess your miracle.
Yep.
Oh, let it sink in. Come on. It's like an airplane bomber, you know, a dive bomber. Just hitting one here and there and hit one there. Possess your miracle.
Amen.
So he just dropped the load then. Amen. Possess your miracle, Lord. Don't let it escape you. Don't be saying, well, if I can just get to this person, if I can just get to that person. No, you got the same Holy Ghost, glory to God. He's provided for you just like he has for everybody else. Possess your miracle. Amen. Use what you got. Amen. Have a sense of expectation. Now, in that whole thing that we're talking about, what do you have in your house? And the problem was she didn't recognize what she had. She says, I don't have nothing but this little jar of oil. That's all I got. That's all I got. Everybody say, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
This little jar of oil. But that little, and I want to emphasize that little jar of oil was enough to meet every need she had. But she didn't recognize its ability. And I'm here to tell you today there's oil in the house. Come on, you didn't hear that. There's oil in the house. And whatever you have the need of, see, the Holy Ghost is moving. The Holy Ghost is here to meet your need. Come on now. There is oil in the house. And if you'll just give it over to God, he will meet your need. Go over to God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, that's a freebie. Amen? That was like winning the game. Now we're going to go into overtime. Hallelujah. I told you the other night I was going to talk a little bit about what I feel in my spirit is going on in the nation, and not only the nation, but the nations of the world and in the church. And that is an awakening. Everybody say awakening.
Awakening.
In fact, look at somebody that says, let's just use good Kentucky grammar. Ain't it time?
Amen.
You wake up. And I believe there's an awakening. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ricardo's favorite book. I was listening. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to just read a couple of verses so that you, and I want you to see it in your Bible so you won't leave here and say, well, he didn't even open his Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. You get there, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 13 and 14. But all things that are reproved are made manifested by light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore, because of that, he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Wake, you sleeper, rise from the dead. The dead being inactivity. How many of you know that's what the dead do? Nothing. Inactivity. And you can always say, in fact, you may be sitting next to one right now that's dead and don't know it. Inactivity, not doing anything for the Lord, but going through the church motion.
Yeah.
I go to church because that's what we do. We go to church rather than be the church.
Right.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he says, awake and get up from being dead. I want to remind you how important it is for us to have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Lord is saying or doing. Amen. And that requires or that's requiring from us in this era of time that God has moved us in. There's an awakening that's beginning to occur in the hearts of many. There's awakening that's beginning to occur in the church that I believe that's going to not only change the church, but it's going to change this nation. Now, some of you pulled the plug and think the nation's going down. I'm telling you, the nation is not going down. We may have had to suffer a few things, but God is not done with America. And God is definitely not done with His church. Come on now. And so there's an awakening that's beginning to occur. And I told you the other night about 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, about the sons of Issachar, who were men of understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And we ought to do different things at different times. Come on now. And see, for instance, you don't eat at 3 o'clock in the morning because you're sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning. Me and this brother. You don't reap during planting season. So you act differently at different times. God has strategies to get you through things, and He announces what He's doing before He does it so that you can begin to get the strategy and begin to do the right thing. Amen? Amen. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. In other words, everything that occurs in your life comes in its proper season.
Amen.
Amen. And every purpose has a time. And you may know that you've been created for a purpose, but yet you've not yet fulfilled your purpose. Hold on. God's not done with you yet. When the proper time comes, you will step right in it, and it'll be just like you've always been right there. Amen. And so Romans 13:11 says, and knowing the season, that now it's already time for you to wake out of your sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than what it was when we first began. It's already time for you to wake up. Come on. Have you ever woke up in the morning and said, already? Just feels like I just went to sleep. But you were sleeping all night long. Well, it's already time for you to wake up, glory to God. You can't enjoy the luxury of sleeping anymore. It's time to wake up, glory to God. Amen? And so I was looking at this phrase, awaken, and here's what I discovered about it. It's an act or a moment of becoming something, becoming suddenly aware of something. An act or a moment of becoming suddenly aware of something. Did you ever just be serving God and suddenly you became aware of something? You become aware of His love. You became aware of His grace. You become aware of His power. You become aware that you were moving with God and didn't even realize that you were right in the center of things. And so that's what awakening is, suddenly becoming aware. It's the beginning, and I like this phrase, the beginning of the arousal of something. It's just the beginning. God's beginning to arouse us, but it's not the final thing. It's just the beginning. It's going to supersede anything we've ever known. It's got a snowball effect. It's like the snowball running down the hill. It's going to get bigger and bigger, and I'm telling you something, you better hear me. This move of God that's coming is going to be bigger than anything you've ever experienced before.
Amen.
Amen. I want to get run over by the snowball. It's making someone aware of something for the first time. And I tell you that there's going to be some things that we become aware of in God for the very first time. And it's like we know that we know, we think we know, and then we know. I remember the first time I saw somebody came up and his foot was, one leg was about that much longer than the other one. I remember it. Now, I grew up Catholic and American heathen. And I always knew, I always had a respect for God. I mean, I didn't downgrade God. I knew if He's God, He's got to be able to have some power and stuff. And so when somebody says He worked miracles, it didn't surprise me none. He's God. How can you be God and not work miracles? You know, if you don't have any power, how can you assert yourself as being God? And so I didn't have a problem with that. But I was in this church, Word of Faith, charismatic type church. And I remember they prayed for this guy, and I saw his leg just shoot out. And when I saw it shoot out, I jumped up and I said, did you see that? I knew it before, but I really knew it now. My pastor told me about the church he pastored, and he told me about how there was deliverance going on all the time. I mean, there was just devil after devil. And I believed what he said because he was my pastor. But then I went to that church and pastored it. Hello. And I found out, I knew what he was talking about. Are you following me? I knew it for myself, and there are going to be some things that suddenly you become aware of for the very first time. Come on now. Now, here's what I've discovered the problem is. Many of us have sighed and rolled over, but we haven't got up. Come on. We give mental assent when we hear messages about we're supposed to be the bride of Christ, that God lives on the inside of us, and it excites us for a while. We kicks out our Honda and tie our bow tie, and I bought a Honda and should have bought a Kia all day long. And yet when we leave here, we've discovered all we did was sigh and roll over, but we're still asleep. Amen. See, you, when you leave out of here, you ought to be armed and dangerous.
That's right. Come on, brother. That's right.
And I want to remind you, if the church was awake, there would be no need for an awakening.
That's right.
Huh? You don't awaken somebody that's already woke up. You awaken sleepy people. Amen. And I remember back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, we used to say, you know, that the church has been like a sleeping giant that's about to wake up. Boy, it's been a long time coming. Amen. And we began to prophesy in the 90s that the church that was coming, we wouldn't recognize it by comparing it to what it was. And yet we see ourselves still doing the same thing, going around the same mountains. But the church is about to wake up, glory to God. And as the church wakes up, because as the church goes, so goes the nation. If you want to know what condition the church is, look at the nation. Well, and so the Lord showed me that many today are like in a sleep-like stage, going through the motions. You know, we know when to say hallelujah at the right time. Well, most of us do. Amen. But we're going through the motion. And again, sleep is being inactive. We're not doing anything. We got all these promises, and we can talk about the promises we've got. And we've got them all, but yet we're not doing anything. And there's a place where nothing seems to be changing for us. Come on. You rebuke the devil and he doesn't rebuke. Yeah. Yeah. Everything remains the same. And you want to know where God, where are you at? You said this, you said that. Why isn't anything happening? Because you're going through the motions and you've not woke up yet. You're sleepwalking. For some, it's been like you've been on the backside of the desert. You've been in your wilderness of isolation. Now, I like this because your wilderness isolation is a good place to be. Because, see, God's more concerned with making the man than he is the ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's more concerned with you coming to maturity than you doing anything.
Amen.
And so sometimes God will isolate you, and sometimes we need to be isolated. Because if we're not isolated, we keep hearing the same old thing. Keep doing the same old thing. But in the wilderness of isolation, it seems like God's so far away. Come on, am I talking to anybody this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Have you gone through a situation? It just seems like, God, I know you hear me when I pray. I know you answer prayers, but God, it seems like my prayers are just hitting the ceiling. Nothing's happening. Where are you, God? Don't you see? Don't you care? Come on, I know it happens to you. And that's where we begin to ask questions like, God, are you even aware of what's going on in my life? Do you even care, God? Can't you see what I'm going through? We know if we tell the story hard enough and bad enough that we'll move God and he'll move for us. We'll manipulate him to get him to do what we want him to do. Nobody knows. We tell God how bad it is, hoping to make God move for us and respond to us. And we just come to the conclusion, God's not even aware of me. He doesn't care anymore. I'm going to tell you something. One thing that you'll never hear God say, I didn't see that coming. He's aware of what you're going through. Come on now. Well, amen. Or I wish I'd have known that. So God, are you angry with me? What is it, God? Did I do something wrong? Did I not do something right enough? Did I not confess the scriptures enough times, Lord? Huh? I know I kicked a cat and put the kids out, but God, how can I expect anything? You've got to be mad at me or else I wouldn't be going through this. Don't you care, God? Maybe you're like me and say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? I don't understand. What are you doing? It's like the prophet when he said, there will be no more rain until I say so. And when the moment he said it, he became a participator in the fact there was no more rain. And God had to take him down the river and feed him roadkill. And I'm sure he had this thought, God, what are you doing? I only did what you told me to do. I only said what, I've been doing exactly what you want, but now all this is happening. God, what are you doing? I know you're thinking. Amen. And here, listen, how many of you ever been that way? God, what are you doing? I'm going to give you the answer. You want the answer? Do you really want the answer? Okay, I'm going to speak on behalf of God. God, what are you doing? I don't know if I dare do this. All right. He says, God, what are you doing? And here's what he says. I'm answering your prayer. You said, change me. You said, here am I, Lord, send me. Oh, no, not there, Lord. Come on now. You said, God, flow through me. You said, God, use me. You said, God, I want to be a worker of miracles. And here's what I get, the wilderness. Yeah, I'm answering your prayer. He says, I'm causing you to know that man doesn't live by bread alone. I'm causing you to know that you must become absolutely, totally, 100% dependent upon my word. Not just what I said, but what I'm saying on a daily basis. You must depend upon me. You need me. Well, amen. I'm giving you opportunity to turn back if you have a mind to. Remember when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and they began to complain, oh, we missed the garlics, the onions, and the leeks. And he said they could have turned back if they had a mind to. If they wanted to, all they had to do is turn around and go back. And it's the same way with you and I. When the pressure gets too tough and it seems like we're on a desert and God doesn't seem to be aware of us, it's an opportunity for us to turn around and go back to where we came from or to stand still and see the salvation of our God. So he's answering our prayers. And we never expected it to be that way. Amen. He says, I'm washing Egypt out of you. And you need to know how to just learn to wait on God. I'm washing Egypt out of you. Amen. And you know there's a lot still in you.
Come on, brother.
You know there's a lot of Egypt still in you, glory to God. And he said, I'm washing it out because I don't want anything coming forth that's tainted, amen? And some of us have received words or dreams and that made them think that they were in a season of turnaround. You remember the other night, my wife told you to stand up and turn around and wave your past goodbye? Yeah. Amen? So we turned around and we waved goodbye to our past, but she didn't leave you that way, did she?
No.
She told you, turn all around. Because if you don't turn around, see, that's what happens a lot of times. We say we're in a season of turnaround, and we turn around like this. We say goodbye to the past, and we just keep looking at the past. We can't see the future for looking at the past. Well, I'm glad that's finally gone. Bye, past. Hallelujah. See you later, past. Oh, it's been a long time, past. Bye, past. And we can't get our eyes off the past to see what God's wanting us to do. So we have to turn completely around and begin to focus on God. Well, amen.
Amen.
So I asked the Lord, Lord, why have you allowed people to continue to sleep? And here's what I've discovered. Father wants to give us what we need to fulfill the commission he has on our life. Now that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, but listen, when in the beginning, when God made man, he had said, I'm making man after my likeness and my image. He's going to be a representative of me in the earth. When people see man, he'll know what I'm like. Amen? But he looked at man and says, you know, man, you're not good yet. There's something else you need. You need a helpmeet. Now here's the interesting thing. The helpmeet was already in man. Now don't let that slip by. God says you're not complete. What you have need of is already in you. Come on now. What you have need of, now you got to get this, what you have need of is already in you. But the problem is, man, if I try to get it out of you, you'll gripe and complain. You'll try to tell me how to do it. And so, man, here's what my solution is. I'm going to put you to sleep. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to put you to sleep. So that I can take out of you what's already in you, what you need to accomplish my plan. So I've got to put you to sleep. Come on, you know you tell God what to do. You go to God and you tell God how to heal you. You go to God and tell God, move on me now. Come on now. We tell God all the time. You don't like it for me to say you. I tell God things all the time. Amen. God, you know, I used to tell God this. You know, when I first went into ministry. Now, Lord, if you're going to use me, you better hurry up. You're coming pretty quick, don't you know? Amen. And we tell the Lord what we want the Lord to do. And the Lord says, you need to understand I'm in charge. And you're going to follow my plan, and you're going to do my will. And if you want me to flow through you the way you say you want me to, I've got to put you to sleep for a time period so that I can get out of you what's in you. And so the church has been asleep in the incubator. Amen. Are you following me? In Ezekiel 37, you don't have to go there, but in Ezekiel 37, remember I told you about the other night that the hand of God came on the prophet. He set him down in the midst of a valley of dry bones, and then God dared to ask him, how do you assay this situation? And he said, Lord, they're very dry. I preached there before. Lord, they're very dry. And he says, can these bones live? You know, Lord, I'm not falling for the trick questions. You know, Lord. And he says, prophesy to the bones. And so I prophesied, and then suddenly bone came to bone, and sinew to sinew, and flesh to flesh. There was a lot of noise. And that's what religion is. A lot of structure and organization. And here's what he says, but there was no life in it. You can have structure and organization and not have life. And so he said, prophesy again, the second time. So he prophesied. By the way, the phrase prophesy means to make yourself a prophet or to fulfill the function and the office of a prophet. Doesn't mean you become a prophet. It just means you do what a prophet does. And you speak life to dead bones. Come on. And so he said, prophesy again. And I prophesied, and the wind came in and stood them up on their feet, exceeding great and precious army. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, here's what I've discovered. Some are just simply receiving the first breath of the Spirit. They just come into the same, they're just receiving the first breath, and all they can see is structure and organization, and they look for the one that they think best suits their flavor. I like this structure. I like the way they organize this, and yet they don't take into heart that there's no life there. Others have experienced that, and they're needing that second breath of God's Spirit just to blow on them. And you know, and you probably never heard this phrase before, but they used to be on fire for God. Used to be on fire. Yeah, come on. Well, yeah, I can remember back then, they were on fire for God. What happened? Huh? They went somewhere and somebody had the ministry of Bucket Brigade and tried to put their fire out. Come on now. But all of us have the same destiny. Amen? And we need to realize that God's up to something. God is moving in our lives. Amen? Come on, amen me.
Amen.
Don't go to sleep on me. Not when I'm preaching awake. In Ezekiel 37, I want you to listen to this. In Ezekiel 37 and verse 11 through 14, he says, "Then he said to me," now this is after he prophesied two times, "Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say," let me say it this way, "these bones are the church." And the church says, "Our bones are dried and our hope is lost." And I see that a lot of places I go. Well, you know, if God doesn't send a revival, I don't know how we're going to make it. And they don't realize they're supposed to be the revival.
Right.
He says, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We're cut off from our parts. Therefore, he said, prophesy. This is the third time. "Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves. I will bring you out. And then you will know." Are you there? Look what he says. He says, "Therefore prophesy, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and I'll cause you to come out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And you shall know I am the Lord that's opened your graves and brought you out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you and you shall live. And I'll place you in your land and you shall know that the Lord God has spoken and has performed it." He said, "I will open your graves." Now here's what I want you to understand. There are many of us that, you know, we have just been like inactive. We have been like we've died inside. We used to be on fire. Nobody had to stand up before service and pump you to get you to praise the Lord. Come on now. We didn't have to have keep on admonishing. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, lift up your, he's worth. We didn't have to do that. You were on fire for God. Glory to God. And if something inside you has died, your dreams didn't get fulfilled like you thought they would. God didn't move for you when you thought he was going to move. And because of that, you didn't just give up. But little by little by little, you began to get colder and colder and colder. And God, and begin to say, there's no hope for us. If God doesn't do something, the church won't exist. But God says, behold, I'm opening up your graves and you don't have to try to find your way out. I'm reaching into your tomb and I'm bringing you out and you will know that I, the Lord God, has spoken to you. He said, I'm going to put my spirit in you again. I'm going to cause resurrection life to come into you. You have been determined dead people that looked at you and wrote you off. But God said, my spirit is bringing life to you. You're getting up out of your dark places. You're getting up out of your places of isolation. You're getting up to that place where I had to put you to sleep to bring what's in you out of you. Oh, glory. Your dreams are coming alive. Yeah. Amen. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
See, the problem is, when you're in the tomb, you don't know you need an awakening.
Right.
You always compare yourself with somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank God I'm not like them. Huh? Boy, they're dry. Huh? And we don't see ourselves as being inactive. Adam was asleep, but he didn't know that something was being made in him. Eve was coming forth out of him. In our wilderness, we don't see what God's doing. We just see the wilderness. And we come up with all our questions. And we don't realize that we're learning to be abased so that we might learn how to abound. Amen. When David prayed and said, God, I need some mighty men. I need an army. And God said, okay, I'm going to send you all the in-laws, outlaws. I'm going to send you all the down out. I'm going to send you all the people that they know they need somebody. Come on now. And David's men, when he was hiding in the cave, they were in the cave with him. David's answer was not outside the cave. David's answer was in the cave. Did you get that? David's answer was in the cave. David's mighty men were in the cave with him. But they didn't appear to be mighty men. Oh, come on now. See, some people we write off in church because they don't do it like us. Come on. They don't look like us.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm not going to put big old things in my ears, you know, where I can drive a truck through them. But if that's your taste, you go for it, because it doesn't change whether or not the Lord died for you. Doesn't change whether or not the Lord could use you. Amen. I don't understand it, but I don't have to. Come on now. And so what we got to realize that God wants to use who he wants to use. Amen. And that we need to realize that there are those in the church that the least likely, those that we wouldn't expect, because they're uneducated.
Right.
Huh? They're from the wrong side of the track. They don't always do things right. But bless God, at least they're doing something.
Amen.
Come on now. And we need to realize that our answer is right here with us. You don't need God to send revival. You just need to be the revival. You just need to get excited about God. Come on now. You need to stroke your fire a little bit. You need to get your kicks out of your honey. You need to do something, glory to God. Amen? And just don't just sit back waiting for, say, well, I wish God would send something. He's already done everything he's going to do. If you read your Bible, it says when he went to heaven, he did something that no other high priest was ever able to do. He sat down. Which means I'm done working. You make my enemies my footstool. Well, amen. Or oh me or something. So he sends David all his discontent and all his distress. He says, David, I know you're looking at your in-laws and your outlaws and you're thinking, God, when I asked for you to send me people, this is not the group I was expecting. And God's smiling and saying, David, your answer is in the cave with you. And these men became David's mighty men of valor. Well, amen. Now let me take it a little step further. One day, John the Baptist was baptizing, and he looked up and he saw Jesus. You know, we know he says, behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world. In other words, get your eyes on this is the sacrifice that was made for you. But he also said this, the bridegroom cometh and has the bride in him. Huh? Something was in Jesus. Now I'm going to shake you a little bit. God had to put the first Adam to sleep to bring his bride out of him. God put Jesus asleep on the Calvary to bring his bride out of him. When the soldier took the spear and pierced him in the side, blood and water came out of his side. That's what happens when a woman gives birth. Blood and water comes out. And so in Jesus was the bride, but the bride could not come forth as long as Jesus was awake. I know you're thinking hard, that's why you're not amen at me. So what you need is already in you. Come on now. You don't need somebody to lay empty hands on empty heads for empty results. What you have need of is already inside of you. It's within your reach. Nothing is being withheld from you. Your time has come. Seen a little pregnant lady here last night. We ministered to her. She looked like she was ready to pop any moment. And see, sometimes you can tell somebody when their time has come. You can look at it and know it's time. Amen? Well, I want to announce something to you. Your water has broken. Come on now. That's what a woman does when she comes to her husband. She says, honey, my water broke. It's time. And I want to tell you, your water has broken and the baby has dropped. And you think it ought to be easy now. Come on, you've done walking around pregnant. You're hotter than what you normally do. You've learned to waddle like a duck. And you're so tired of being pregnant. They've never been pregnant, Lord. You think I've been pregnant, it seems like forever. I just want this baby out of me.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Amen? Yep. And so your water breaks and you know now it's time. We need to get to the hospital. This baby is going to come out of me. And you think it ought to be easy, but what you don't realize that when the water breaks and the baby drops, it goes down into a restricted area. Huh? And you think it's supposed to be easy. No, you're just now getting the pain. Can I get an amen for someone, you ladies? the birthing canal becomes restricted. It's not, it doesn't become easy. And you find yourself now in a tighter place than what you've ever been. Now, I'm talking to somebody. You've been asking God to do something. You've been asking God to use you. And it seems like all hell's broke loose against your life. It seems like the more you pray, the harder it gets for you. The more you try to believe God, the more restricted it is. The more you try to step out of your box, the tighter the box becomes. But see, you need to realize that you're in that canal now, and things have become restricted against you, but there is something taking place. Don't give up. Tell somebody, don't give up.
Don't you give up.
So grab hold of the promises. See, when the baby drops and you're in the birthing canal now, you may decide, I ain't going to do this. But oh, yes, you are. Huh? It's too late now, honey. You're going to do this. Are you following me?
Yeah.
And see, when you can't give up. You can't just decide, okay, I've been pregnant long enough. I'm not going to be pregnant no more. I'm done with this. No, you're going to be pregnant until you deliver. And you need to realize that you've been holding on for God, and instead of things getting better, it seems it got worse for you. You can't give up now.
No.
Amen. Amen. Take a deep breath and push.
Yeah.
Amen. Tell somebody it's time for you to push. See, you need to realize that your season of suddenlies is coming upon you. Come on now. You've been pregnant all this time. You may have been pregnant with dreams and visions. You may be pregnant with new ideas. You may be pregnant with new ministry. And it just seems like everything's been going wrong for you. But don't give up. It's time to push. And things are about to change on your behalf. Your season of suddenly is about to take place. That woman's been pregnant for 9 months now. And you know, you think it was hard on the woman. Look at the man. And when she comes and tells you, that's why men fall apart. They do silly stuff. She comes and tells you it's time, and you're thinking, oh, my God, finally. Amen. And you lose sight of what you do. You just jump in the car and take her, go to the hospital and realize she's not in there with you. It happens that quick. Come on. See, even with you, for you ladies, you know, you've been pregnant for 9 months and you're tired of carrying this thing and you want it out of you. But the moment it begins to take place, that which seemed like forever suddenly becomes an instantaneous thing. A suddenly comes upon you. Suddenly it becomes time for unlimited provision for your life. Suddenly God begins to move in your life. It hasn't been suddenly. You've been pregnant for a long time. But it seems like suddenly, because suddenly God does it. Amen. Now I want to tell you, if you can receive this, your season of double is upon you. Amen. Look at somebody and say, twins. Your season of double is upon you. You'll receive double for your trouble. You and me, Lord. Double for your trouble. And so by faith, we need to take a leap from where we are to where we want to be so that we can begin to see what God has. He's been beckoning us. Come on out. Get out of your boat. Come on out here in the deep water. Come back out here and live with excitement. Come out back out here and live by the word of God. Come back out here and do things that you used to do. Come on back out here and get rid of your fear. Come back out here and be my representatives in the earth.
Right. Yep.
I want you to hear this, man of God. The place where you're at is too small. It's too restricted. Push one more time. I can see the birthing of something. I believe I can see the head.
Yeah.
You're crowning, glory to God.
Yeah.
Come on now. It's been a long time, but you're crowning. Don't give up now. Push.
Yeah.
Push, glory to God. Your dreams are about to be fulfilled. Push. Those of you who've been believing for this church to take, push. Push. Your dream is about to be fulfilled. Yeah, but you don't understand what we're going through. Yes, I do. You're in restriction. Push. Because you are the answer to what you want. You are the answer to what you need. God's empowered you. He's impregnated you with His Word. Push. Remember this. By the way, if you want to push, what you need to do is spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Spend time releasing prophetic decrees over it. Amen. Quit talking about how bad it feels to be pregnant. Quit talking about how bad it feels to be restricted. Quit talking about how bad it feels to be in the wilderness. And quit talking about how you prayed and God didn't hear you. Quit talking that nonsense. And begin to talk about I'm pregnant, glory to God, and I believe it's going to be a healthy baby. I believe it's coming any moment now. I'm pushing. Man, I feel like it's just dropped down. The baby just, oh man, I'm telling you, get ready. Pack that bag. We're going to the hospital, glory to God. Push, amen. Remember, the only way to stop being pregnant is either to birth it or abort it. Stop aborting what God's trying to do in your life.
Amen.
Stop aborting it and birth it. Birth it, glory to God. Again, let me remind you, He sat down. You're saying, God, do this for me. He said, no, you do it. You do it. You work with me. I've already done my part. Now you do your part.
Right.
Oh, God, send them in here. No, I've already paid the price. Now you go out and get them. Come on. Come on now. God, just heal them. I've already done my part. I've already paid the price. Now you lay hands on them. Are you following me? It's you. We say, oh God, I'm just waiting on you. And He said, for 2,000 years, I've been waiting on mankind to rise up and be my sons and daughters. Get up. Wake up. Well, amen. Hallelujah. I'll close now because some of you already went home. Listen to me. 2 Kings 19:3 says, I declare to you, or 2 Kings 19:3 talks about a woman coming to birth and not having strength to birth it.
Yeah.
And that's the way the church has been.
Yeah.
We've been pregnant with things, with ideas, with dreams, with visions, with hopes. And hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Right.
And when things didn't happen when we thought they ought to happen, we start giving up little by little on God. Well, we didn't do it intentionally, but we just let things slip from us. We didn't dare visit anymore because we don't want to look foolish because it didn't happen. And God says, you don't get pregnant and birth all at one time.
That's right.
And He says, you've been like women who've come to the birth, but you have not had strength to bring it forth. But I'm here to decree to you that it's time, glory to God, that it's time that you begin to wake up and get back active again, because God is going to birth that which has been held up in your restricted places, and you're going to see that you're going to rock the baby. And when you begin to rock the baby, you're going to know everything you've been through has been worth it all for the joy of what you got now. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So what time is it? Time to get to the hospital, glory to God. Time to push. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Don't give up. That's why the scripture says, don't become weary in well-doing.
Yeah.
For in due season.
Yeah.
Amen? To everything, there's a season. In due season, you'll reap. If you don't faint, if you don't give up, you will reap. God's not a man that He should lie. Huh? If He tells you you'll get something, you'll get it. Don't give up. But I've done it before and it didn't work. Well, do it again. Amen. There's a lot of people in the natural that has been pregnant before and wasn't able to deliver, and they got pregnant again. Come on now. And they delivered healthy babies. You try to believe God for something. You didn't get what you wanted. Don't stop believing. Believe again. You've asked God to use you. You stepped out in what you thought God was saying, and you looked foolish to people. You think. Don't give up. Step out again. Come on now. You got out of your boat, and you sunk. Don't give up. Get a hold of the hand of the Lord. Walk back to the boat. Do it again. Are you following me? And so I want to tell you that things are about to change on your behalf. Come on. Things are about to change on your behalf. Amen. You're not locked in to failure. Amen. Failure is not final. Oh, y'all just let that one slip. Failure is not final. Amen. And in fact, the only reason you think you fail is because that's the way you say your situation. You put an appraisal on your situation. You said, I must have failed. Because after, you know, because listen to me, I'm gonna be honest with you, God didn't see it coming. Huh? How many of you know that every time you missed it, he already knew you was going to miss it? Yeah. And yet he chose you to do what he wanted done.
Right.
He already knows. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen? And we're living in between and we just can't figure this out. He knows everything. He knew when he told me to stand and prophesy that I was going to say, Lord, if that's really you, have brother so-and-so do it. He knew that. He knew, you know, when he said, go witness, that I was going to say, you know, I believe God wants you to go witness instead of me doing it myself. He knew. And yet he chose to use you anyway. You didn't take God by surprise when you didn't do what God wanted you to do. He already knew you wasn't going to do it. I mean, what an amazing God. He's trying to show us what need we have in our life. Amen? And so you've been pregnant before, you've been isolated before, and you try to abort the baby because it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to. You didn't take God by surprise. He just kept sowing seed in your life to keep on pregnating you so that his purposes will come to fulfillment.
Amen.
Well, amen. Don't give up. Don't give up, brother. Don't give up.
Amen.
You ain't done. I said, ain't I know it. Sometimes I have to catch myself and correct myself, or else I'll sound like y'all. At the present time, God is not finished with you. Amen?
Amen.
Cast not away your confidence, which have great recompense and reward. For you have need of endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen? So God is doing something in our lives, and he's saying, cooperate with me. Cooperate with me. Just push. And you know, we've used this term before, push. Pray until something happens. Push. Pray until something happens. Amen. Don't ever say God's not doing anything, because God's always doing something. Amen. He's always doing something. I want to speak to my brother here. I can't remember your name.
Mark.
And your wife?
Jennifer.
Your girlfriend?
Jennifer.
Hallelujah. I just heard the Lord saying that he's lighting a fire within you guys. And it's like you know, you had plans and determinations and you've given counsel of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And the Lord's just going to reconstruct everything that you thought. I mean, I just see things just turning upside down, if you would. And that God is going to begin to cause a new vision and a new dream to come into your lives. And also, I wanted you to know that I heard the Lord say earlier to you, Dad, that I'm well pleased with you. I'm well pleased with you. And I long for those kind of things. I'm well pleased with you. And the Lord says, you've been those who've stood on a mountaintop and you would begin able to see just a little bit about what I'm wanting to do and what I'm wanting to accomplish. And your heart has been sensitive to go after those things I'm wanting. But the Lord said, I'm going to sensitize you even greater than what you ever realized. And I just see that God is going to move in such a way with you guys. It's you're going to go through those times and it's just like almost like a breakdown. And you're not breaking down. Okay, but it's like a breakdown that you're just going to begin to weep uncontrollably. You're just going to be places and you're going to have to leave places because the Spirit of God coming on you in such a degree that you're not going to be able to handle. You're not knowing what God's doing, but you know God's doing something. And it's just going to begin to overtake you and begin to just cause such a sensitivity in your life. For the Lord says, I made you lighthouses, so that I might begin to shine my light through you. And the Lord says, you're going to be, thank you, Father, you're going to be like bug lights. And those around about you are going to become zapped by my Spirit. And those things that I wanted to accomplish in people's lives but have not been able to accomplish, I'll suddenly begin to do them. And it will not be a hard work or a strenuous effort. It'll be like the bug coming to the light, zap. And I've got them, said God. So the Lord said, keep on plowing, keep on doing, and prepare yourself for these seasons of times of weeping and just coming beside yourself, knowing that I'm doing a deep work within your spirit, says the Lord. Glory to God.
Yeah. I even heard God say that you've been ones that you haven't felt like you quite fit in anywhere. And God said that is not coincidental. That's something he's put inside of you, because you are, your difference is that you are a new breed. Come on. You are a new breed. And the Father said, don't belittle your indifference, because your indifference is great for his kingdom and his glory. Amen. And he's going to give you a presence and even a platform. Amen. As you give yourself to him in this season of totally breaking. Amen. That there is more to you than what you realize. There's more yet for you to accomplish than what you realize. And I really hear God say that you need to really get yourself planted. You need a covering. You need those that you can rely on once again. It seemed like you've tried it before, and it was almost as if you got slapped in the face and shut down. But God said, no, that was for nothing. It wasn't for nothing. Amen. The enemy meant for it to try to stop you and for you to begin to isolate yourself and say, well, God, not that you're running away from God, but God, I'm just going to do it my way. I'm just going to do it my way, because I don't fit in anywhere. And yet that's not the Father's best. He said he does have that covering for you that's going to be able to embrace you and love you and almost cheer you on. Amen. That's going to be a strength to you and your family. That's going to embrace you and love you and propel you. Amen. And the Father says, I'm not going to leave you alone, and I'm not going to leave you to yourself. Amen. Because there's been much deposited within your spirits at a very, very young, tender age. And God has been orchestrating things and creatively moving in some areas for the two of you, amen, to bring about his full purpose, amen, for your family. For it's much more than where you're at right now, says God. So begin to take the limits off, amen. Take the limits off of yourself, amen. Allow him to go to those places that have been wounded and hurt. And I'm telling you, you will not regret it. You will not regret it, amen.
Amen.
There is a greater platform. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Now. There's a greater platform.
Thank you.
Don't
Lord.
Settle for where you're at.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. There's much more yet to
thank
come.
You, Father.
Amen. Father, I just thank you for the
thank
man and
you,
woman
Lord.
Of God. I thank you for the
God.
Giftings and the callings that are
Hallelujah.
Upon their life, Father. And Lord,
Hallelujah.
Even now, Lord, I just thank you that it is a season of a fresh breath.
Hallelujah.
It really, really is. So go ahead and inhale.
Yeah.
And trust him. Oh, yeah,
Hallelujah.
I felt that. Go ahead. Inhale. He's got you.
Hallelujah.
And it's glorious what's coming ahead. It's glorious what's coming ahead. It's glorious what's coming ahead. It's glorious.
Hallelujah.
Glorious.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you,
Glory
Father.
Glory to God.
Thank
Glory
you, Father.
To God.
Oh, God, sealing in their spirit.
Thank you, Father.
For an ever and ever, this new breed. Yeah, this new breed.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for them, Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me just say to Mark, you're already head and shoulders taller than a lot of folks, the guys that I meet, in that you've had the wisdom of to know that your wife is still your girlfriend. Hallelujah.
Wise man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to just say something to this lady back here on all the way in the back there. Yeah, you. Uh-huh. What's your name?
Darling.
Darling. I know there's creativity in you, but you haven't seen anything yet. I see seasons where the Spirit of God just overshadows you right in the midst of a service. And your greatest creativity will come while you're sitting in the midst of a service. I just see God giving you pictures. I don't know if you paint or what, but I see pictures just begin to come forth. And I mean, you're going to do it. You're going to be aware you're doing it, but it's not going to be you doing it. The Spirit of God is going to begin to cause a picture to come forth, and you're going to begin to put it, and it's going to be a prophetic image of what God is saying and doing. So you just get ready. I mean, your greatest, and again, I don't know what all you do, but your greatest creativity is just ahead of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Shirley, I just hear God say that he is, yeah. Come on now.
You can't
Amen.
Run and hide. Glory to God.
Listen, I keep hearing the lion has roared. Who can but prophesy?
Yeah.
Come on. The lion has roared. Who can but prophesy? And there is a greater degree of that mantle, not just the gift of prophecy, but the office of the prophet that's going to begin to manifest in a greater degree, in a greater measure. Father said, your words will not fall to the ground, but they will hit the mark. And you need to begin to rise up again in this season and begin to say what thus says the Lord. Listen, the Lord visited me in a dream. And one of the things he told me, Shirley, just a few weeks ago, he said, because you did not cave in under the intimidation and the shame. And all of a sudden, when he said that, I seen a fire begin to enter into the room, and it got bigger as it came over to me. And when he said that, it was like an arm of fire reached out and it touched me, and I seen that same fire hitting you. The Lord said, because you did not cave in. Come on now. Because you did not cave in. Not once, not twice, not three times. I mean, you can't even begin to count how many times you did not cave in. And you did not back down because of intimidation or even times of feeling shamed because you made some choices and you made some decisions and other people looked at it and thought, what is she doing? God said, because you haven't, he's coming with a fresh release of the fire of God
yeah.
upon your life. Amen. And the miraculous, I'm telling you, the miraculous, not healing, miraculous
yeah.
is going to begin to be demonstrated. What wasn't there will all of a sudden be appeared. I see tumors coming off of people right in the midst of that. I see limbs growing out right in the midst. I see blind eyes being opened up and ears being opened up right in the midst of that fire. God says, give yourself to it. Give yourself to it. It's almost like you will become a whole different person in those moments. But God says, listen, roar, daughter, roar. Roar, daughter, roar. Roar, daughter, roar. Roar, daughter, roar. And don't you hold back nothing. For
yeah.
surely as you give out, I will empower you and I will infuse you and I will propel you like never before in this season. For surely my hand is upon you and surely I have called you and surely I've appointed you in this time and season. So think it not strange, daughter, that you will rise up again and you will be truly a history maker. A history maker, a history maker for me and my glory and my kingdom and my namesake, because that's always been your heart.
Hallelujah.
Ooh.
Hallelujah.
That's always been your heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Always you, Lord. Been your heart.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Oh, you haven't seen glory. Anything yet.
Hallelujah.
You haven't seen anything yet.
Hallelujah. It's kind of neat because you understand, most of you know Pastor Shirley there, and she's the on fire little woman.
Amen.
And at the same time, you've been in your restricted place.
Yeah.
The pressure has been greater at this season in your life than it ever has been. But it's birthing something in you far greater than what you've ever realized.
Glory, glory.
Amen.
Glory, glory.
Amen.
Glory,
hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What's my brother? What's your name right here, sir? David, David, is this your girlfriend? Oh, come on, I'm helping you. Work with me. Amen. You're all right right there. I just see where there's a visitation of God that's going to be able to come to you, David. And just the breath and the wind of God is going to let you know you've not been forsaken and you're not counted out. Amen. That you have many more years ahead of you, brother. And what is trying to stop you, I'm telling you, there's coming a miraculous release for you in this time and season. For you hold fast, says God, you are my son, and there is a keeping power that is you're going to begin to experience and be able to embrace the love and the goodness of God. You've not been forsaken. You've not been left to yourself. For there is a miraculous thing that the Father is even doing for you, even right now, says God, for you are my son. And my hand has truly been upon you, even before you were formed in your mother's womb. And there's greatness yet that needs to be released on the inside of you, son. So you go ahead and you give yourself to me and know that I've heard you in your night season. And I've heard you even on your bed when you've wept and you've even said, God, I don't understand. I don't even understand where I'm at. And the Father says, know that I've kept you and I'm keeping you and I'm going to keep you even in the days to come. for there is much more to you than what you realize, son. And as you begin to walk with me, you're going to begin to understand yourself with a greater clarity, and you're going to know my embracement, and you're going to know my love for you, my relentless, passionate love for you like never before. For I'm going to do for you what the doctors said they could not do. Where the doctors have said and they have been limited, Father God says, you watch, see what I do for you, because I am working in your behalf, and I am your greatest physician. And I'm not going to leave you at this place, for I'm going to begin to do the miraculous, and I'm going to raise you up. And truly, truly, says God, there is a fire within you, son, that's yet to be released. And there is a word that God's put in within your mouth that's yet to be released. And the Lord says, know that you know that you know. It's like I even see you, brother, looking in the mirror, and you're going to see yourself through different eyes. You're going to see yourself through different eyes. Amen. Your best years are yet to come. Your best, it is not over. You hear me? Come on. It is not over. It is not over. Come on. Even in this physical body, it is not over. Amen? Come on. Resurrection life is being released to you. Resurrection life. Life. Father, I release life. Life to every area of this body, Lord God. Life. 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 Glory. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Father God, on this man and woman of God. I just thank you, Father, for your keeping power that's upon them, Lord. That the best is still yet to come for them, Lord. And this is their season, and you're right in time. So think it not strange that I brought you this way. Think it not strange that I brought you this way. Come on now. Think it not strange that I brought you this way. For I've brought you this way for such a time as this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
So you have to come back for the last service. And Brother Richard over here is ready, fired up.
Yeah.
Amen. He's got the word. Amen.
Amen.
If he don't have, he will have. Amen. Amen. And you know, when he gets done tonight, if you still need a word from God, I believe every time we stand in the pulpit, we give you a word. But if you need a word from God, you know, my wife and I will minister to you.
Amen.
Amen. If you haven't been ministered to already, we will minister to you. We'll take time to release the voice of God in your life. Amen. All you got to do is show up. Amen. I want to also encourage you now to check out the book table back there.